Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Broadcasting live inside the Orlando Magic Studios, here's your host, Aaron Berlin.
Happy Friday, Magic in action tonight as they get set for an 8 o'clock tilt against Chicago's Bulls. Magic at 14-16, 6-7 away from the Amway Center. Take on a Bulls team that I think it's safe to say life out on the NBA road has not been kind to them. Just 7-25, they are 4-12 inside the United Center. And the Magic will play only one game on the road over the course of their next five, with that road test coming tonight against these Bulls inside the UC. Hi, everybody. My name is Aaron Berlin, and welcome to another rendition of Magic Drive Time, wherever you might be on what is kind of a little chilly Friday afternoon. Just a programming note, this is the final Drive Time until after Christmas. We are not on the air on Monday or on Tuesday. So if you need an MDT fix, if you need a Magic fix, how are you going to do it? Well, you're going to go to Apple iTunes. You're going to search Orlando Magic Radio. You're going to subscribe. You're going to rate. You're going to have all your Drive Time content there. Or if you're looking for podcasts, we got you covered there too. We got a new podcast with the Producer's Cut. That is Cody and I's show. You can catch that on Spotify or on iTunes. Or you can get the Orlando Magic Pod Squad on iTunes or Spotify as well. All you have to do, search those names, subscribe, rate. It's a good time. Here's what we have coming up on the show today. Kevin Arnovitz of ESPN.com joins us. He'll join us in the matter of about 30 seconds. We'll talk to him about the job that this Magic team has done, what he sees going on in Orlando's future, and what is kind of the big thing for Orlando to turn this around here in Central Florida. So all that and more coming up. Hey, just a reminder, when the Magic make three or more dunks during any Orlando Magic home game, score free soup or salad and breadsticks at any participating Central Florida Olive Garden location. All you got to do, text DUNK to 29002. To validate offer, must be in before 12:01 a.m. All right, it is my pleasure to welcome in Kevin Arnovitz of ESPN.com. He does a lot of writing for them. You can also catch him on The Jump on most days. And first off, Kevin, how's it going? But more importantly, what are your first perceptions of the job that Steve Clifford has done here in Orlando so far?
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, I mean, I think it's really hard in Orlando. It's been this way for a while where, you know, when you go player by player, there's some very nice pieces. I mean, you don't look at that box score on a nightly basis and say, what is that guy doing playing that kind of minutes? As a collective, it's hard. I mean, they are the 27th ranked offense in the league this morning. And it's hard to win a lot of games that way. And it's a work in progress. And I don't discredit them. I mean, I'm a big Cliff guy. So I just think he creates an ethic of accountability and responsibility. I think guys like coming to work when you play with a Steve Clifford team. I actually think he's done probably really nice things for the defense and really learning how to kind of maximize that length. That would be, one of the things. Vucevic is so interesting because when you kind of look at what the Orlando quote timeline is, on the surface, you'd say, okay, they have all these young bigs. Vucevic is, 28 years old on the last year of his deal, was sort of part of that previous window when they were building. And surely he'll move on and you'll cultivate, the Bambas and the Isaacs, and obviously Gordon's here long term. And, they're all, in the parlance of today's NBA, they're all bigs. So well, what do we need that guy for? And the answer is you need Vucevic to basically score. And the funny thing about Vuce is, I think you look at a guy and you kind of look at his body and you're like, oh, that's a bad big man defender. Vucevic is a good defender. And I'm having this argument semi-regularly with people who look at me like I'm crazy. The first thing I do is I go to the adjusted real plus minus to see if I am crazy. And all I know is this guy, each year he has been in Orlando, has gotten better and better and better, which makes sense because defense is really not. When you're a big man defender in the NBA, you're not a one-on-one defender. No one's going down on the block. Unless you're guarding Joel Embiid four times a year, the other 78 games, no one's doing that. The idea that you have to be if you're a good big man defender means you're taking guys on one-on-one down on the block. It doesn't happen. This is not 1998. So the answer is how do you deal sort of in a system defense? How are you on that back line? How are you at cleaning up mistakes? How are you at kind of stunting and sort of knowing how far you can gamble on the help side while still protecting the rim against guys who are penetrating more than ever because you can't touch anybody anymore, which I'm actually for. I like the new rule changes. I like free movement. But it's really a cerebral position. Like being a defender at the five is not about, oh, I'm going to stop this guy. I'm going to stop Shaq anymore. It's really about I'm sort of calling out. I'm the defensive captain, the coach on the floor, almost the point guard of a D. And, you know, and I know the subtleties and nuances, and he's gotten very good. I think it's one of the reasons the Orlando Magic are a league average defense this year, despite, you know, having young personnel, and it's very hard to do. But what do you do with Vooch? I mean, that's the crazy thing. I mean, is this not the center of the future? He's only 28 years old. He's got probably 4 or 5 prime years left, and he's getting better, you know. But you have all these other wonderful talent, and I'm a big believer in Mo Bamba. Like, man, I think Jonathan Isaac is a fascinating unicorn of a player. I've always been on the Aaron Gordon bandwagon in terms of sheer skills and athleticism. And, you know, I remember kind of baby Blake Griffin, you know, it was my first impression of him. And I like what I see, but it is really interesting. But the offense is a work in progress. And I just think that without elite backcourt play and, you know, with all respect to Fournier, who's a nice player, and man, I don't know there's any little point guard who's gotten more out of his sort of limited talents than DJ Augustin in this league. Like, I mean, that guy, like, against all odds, has put together a really good career. I don't know that you can have a top flight offense if that's your backcourt long term, and it's just a reality. And it is no, I don't mean any disrespect to those players who give it all every night. It's just a question of backcourt skill and what you're going up against and what the game demands in terms of versatility and playmaking. So that to me is the challenge for the Magic right now is, you know, also finding those big guys where, when, and how they like the ball. But it's an interesting challenge, and, you know, it's daunting for them, but I like it more now than I did a couple of years ago.
Absolutely. And, you know, Kevin, kind of the crazy thing about this is, you know, so many people sit here and say that the trade deadline is so far away. Well, you know, February 7th is really only about a month and a half away, and a lot of times things will work themselves out. But as of today, this team is the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference. It's a team that has not made the playoffs since 2012. And you mentioned Nick Vucevic in the front office the decision that this front office is going to have to make. And that's one of a guy that's on an expiring contract. It's very tough in the NBA, like you mentioned today, to move a big man and to get any kind of value for them. But if they do make that decision where they are going to move him, what can kind of be an expected return? Or is there even going to be enough interest around the league for a player like that?
This is the crazy thing. And it's almost a bizarre riddle because Vucevic is a big man with amazing skills who, when you give him the basketball, can do just uncommon things. So if you're a contender, he's not a supporting guy, right? Like, if you bring in Vuce and you want the full value of Vuce, like, you pretty much have to recalibrate your offense, right? Like, this is a guy who you want to give dozens of touches a game to. Do you get a protected first for Vuce? I don't know. People are really covetous of those picks. They're very protective of them now. It's not Jeff Green for a first ain't happening anymore. Like, those days are over, right? Like, and I just worry that, you know, I wonder if you couldn't get more for Ross, who's an inferior player, also on a good expiring deal, than you could for Vuce, not because he's the better player, but because he sort of looks and feels like the kind of guy you can plug in without disruption. And hey, Ross gets hot for a couple of months. Ooh, do you look good?
Yep, completely agree. Great insight from Kevin Artovitz of ESPN.com. When we return here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, we'll continue this talk. We'll also talk about, you know, maybe Orlando was the initial kind of building block for how to build an NBA team in the modern era nearly 27 years ago. We'll talk about that with Kevin coming up here in a matter of moments. You're listening to Magic Drive Time.
Our Magic never compromise on the court. And Magic fans don't have to compromise when it comes to diamonds, engagement rings, and fine jewelry. You always get more at International Diamond Center. IDC is Florida's leading jeweler, recognized statewide for excellence in every category, selection, value, and trust. And that's why we've been named Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic again this year. So come visit one of our 8 showrooms across the state or 24/7 at shopidc.com/gomagic. International Diamond Center, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
Exciting news, Magic fans and pasta lovers. Olive Garden and the Orlando Magic have teamed up for a delicious giveaway. When the Magic make 3 or more dunks during a home game, everyone in attendance receives an offer for free soup, salad, and breadsticks. Just look for a text code during or after the game to redeem. Grab your tickets for the opportunity to score this mouth-watering deal. Then show off a few sweet dunks of your own at Olive Garden.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.
Hey, welcome back. Magic Drive Time presented by International Diamond Center rolls along. Speaking with Kevin Arnovitz of ESPN.com. He's penned some fantastic stuff. Among the things we've been talking about, the good franchises and the bad franchise, and which ones kind of make up that list here on Magic Drive Time presented by International Diamond Center. But just a reminder, when the Magic win, you win with free Papa John's pizza all season long. Get 50% off your regular menu price order at PapaJohns.com the day after any Magic win by using the promo code MAGICWIN at checkout. For more information, all you got to do, visit OrlandoMagic.com/PapaJohns. One of the teams that has always kind of been perceived, they are a large market, but they're on the outside looking in, is Toronto. And I thought you wrote a fantastic piece about how they have evolved their team. They have been aggressive with their front office. They have changed their brand, and they've changed the perception of their organization. What could their summer look like? Because it all is dependent on one particular player.
Right. And that's the thing with Toronto, right? They almost have to operate on two tracks. And I'm sure Masai Ujiri, who's, you know, one of the sharpest executives in the league, has sort of an A and a B in his mind. And this is kind of how it works. A is Kawhi comes back. You know, we keep the band together. We've got, I mean, boy, we've been able to really develop some of our guys. I mean, I just love Siakam. And there's almost a Draymond-y kind of Swiss Army knife quality to him. He's tough. He can shoot better than Draymond. I mean, he's not the defender Draymond is, but you got that. You've got, Anunoby looks like a 3-and-D guy who's just tough as nails. And you've got some interesting pieces in the backcourt and some real depth and guys. So that's track one as we keep the band together. They're a very, very good team. Kawhi leaves. You know, now you kind of look at your space, and now you got to go out there and sell and say, hey, look, you know, this is a great market. Everybody, you know, everybody who's come through here has loved it. I mean, DeRozan has a chance to go play for Greg Popovich, and he's crestfallen that he has to leave Toronto. You know, you go and tell those guys, and word gets around, and, you know, you try to get off of Ibaka's money, and you kind of, you know, rebuild on the fly. I think Lowry would be a tough guy to move. He'd have 1 year left at 32. But, you know, you try to, you know, Van Fleet's a nice piece. You know, you got him another year at a good price. And you go out there and recruit some good players, and you do that. So they sort of are an A and B, and it's almost hard to discuss B without knowing A, because it's just a different thing there. It's just an entirely different issue.
Absolutely. But how much should they be commended for essentially changing the culture of that organization and the perception as a whole, not just with the talent on the floor, but with everything that they have done? Because Toronto is a tough sell. You know, it's outside of the continental U.S. Every time you go there, you have to go through customs. And for years, that team struggled to keep some of their young superstar players, just like we have here in Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real, I mean, and I, the way I wrote that piece is I think one of the ways you look at it, we kind of started the conversation this way, is there's a good list and a bad list in the NBA. And really, there's a middle list. I mean, I actually think that there's three lists, right? And then we can go either way. The good list are the teams that, and it's not necessarily because they're brilliant. Some of it is market. Some of it is history and legacy and good luck. But when we know when those superstars come on the market, that those teams are in the mix. And by the way, one of those teams is like the New York Knicks, who are, you know, have been woefully run in the last couple of decades. Right. Like, but they're New York. It's Madison Square Garden. It's New York City. They're going to be on that list. The Knicks will always be in consideration because they are the Knicks, and there will always be a superstar who finds it intriguing. I could be the best basketball player in New York is not a bad lifestyle. Just no matter how dysfunctional they might be. Then you have the bad list, and I don't want to name any names, but those are the franchises that you kind of roll your eyes and say, oh, you know, when players leave there, they're like, oh, you know, good to be out of there. And then you have other teams that are trying to position themselves. You know, Orlando was a very interesting destination 20 years ago, right? I mean, it got like achingly close to Tim Duncan. God knows what that would have done for, you know, the history of the franchise. You don't pay a tax. I mean, I think, you know, what ball players look for in a lifestyle, if the weather's good during the basketball season, you can play golf, get a nice spread, and you know, I mean, Grant Hill still, you know, makes his home there. And you talk to guys who live in Orlando in the off season, they seem pretty happy. And the arena is great. So, you know, I think part of the challenge, you know, for the new administration in Orlando is just get back to the old days where, hey, playing for the Magic doesn't sound so bad. You know, good climate, good life. You know, I make $20 million a year, and, you know, guess what? I don't have to pay a state income tax on that. That's kind of nice. Saves you a couple million versus Los Angeles. And, you know, I mean, Cliff is a swell guy to play for. And look at these, you know, still look what they're going to do with the new downtown and the arena development and everything around there. And, you know, get Orlando back. But ultimately, it's not just about, you're not just the tourism board, right? Like, at the end of the day, you got to say, hey, this is a place you can come win. And I think it goes back to sort of what we're talking about with Giannis, which is at the end of the day, the Orlando Magic need to find a talent that a free agent looks at that and says, hey, I want to go play with that. You know, I'm reminded of the Clippers, who were the ultimate bad list team circa 2011. And they got Blake Griffin, right? And they developed Blake Griffin. And forgetting everything that happened since, and, you know, it didn't work out, and they never got to where they wanted to go or passed the second round. It became sort of a break-it-up punchline and whatever else. But the bottom line is the idea that a top-five player like Chris Paul would ever want to go play for the Clippers or be willing to be dealt to the Clippers would have been unthinkable even 2-3 years prior. But what happened was they had the best young finisher in the league in Blake Griffin. And when Chris is looking for a new home, he's a point guard. You got the best finisher in the league. Why don't we pair him with the best point guard in the league in terms of distribution? And he goes there. And for all their failings, that team won 56, 57, 55, 54 games over a 4 or 5 year period and contended. And it didn't work out. And there's some bad luck and some bad chemistry issues. But the bottom line is, and we wake up today and the Clippers are actually kind of on the good list. They're a team that can say without anybody laughing, we're going to look at Durant. We're going to look at Kawhi Leonard. We're going to make a bid and we're going to have anybody tell us that we can't be in the mix. And Orlando's, you know, needs to get back. But I think it's going to be developing a guy or two that a 26, 27, 28 year old can look at and a free agent and say, you know what? I'm going to go play with those guys. You put me on that team in the Eastern Conference, we're right up there with the contenders.
Absolutely.
And until that happens, that's the game, right? And you got, because Orlando's got a lot of, again, the climate, the financial, the facilities, you know, Jeff and John. I mean, like, it's a good, and Cliff, you know, there's a lot going on. But you got to develop one of those guys, whether it's Isaac, whether it's Bamba, Gordon continuing to grow and really kind of becoming sharper and more competitive as a player. Really, just more brooding, get some gravitas among the young core. One of those guys has to pop. That's what it's going to take. And that's been the problem.
Yeah, I was going to say, Kevin, you know, the perfect example is what happened here 27 years ago. The franchise drafts Shaq, then the next year you jump up in the lottery and you get Penny Hardaway once again. And then all of a sudden you have your core there and everybody else wants to join you. And, you know, 30 years ago when this franchise was founded, I don't think it would have been necessarily a real desirable destination for any free agent. But you get one or two guys, and it changes the entire perception of your organization.
It is. And it's sad because, you know, we can talk about culture. We can talk about people like going to work for Cliff. We can talk about all the rest of it. And more than any other of the big sports, baseball, football, it's a superstar league. It's a cliche. But you don't get a 0-4 Pistons very often. You know, even the 14-15 Atlanta Hawks that won 60 games, whose best player was maybe Millsap or Horford, however you want to look at it, right? Like, it just doesn't happen very often. I mean, I think it can happen, but it's just rare. I mean, you've got to get a guy and find a guy, and it doesn't matter who that is, or you really kind of, you know, I mean, you know, Utah is an interesting model. I mean, one of the things that I think is interesting about Bamba is that you're the already the 15th or 16th best defense. And if you look at the personnel, you shouldn't be. And you can be one of these teams in a small market that says, you know what we're going to be? We're going to be a top three defensive team. We're going to be the Indiana Pacers during that period where they had, although, you know, George was, you know, Paul George was that guy, but like, but it was basically, people forget, like, what got them there was the defense. And it's like, you know what, we're going to build a top five defense. And here's the thing with top five defenses. You pair them with even a league average offense, that's a team that wins 52 games, 51 games, 50 games. That's a team that can basically pencil them in for the second round purely because you can't really score on them in a seven-game series consistently. And, you know, Gobert's sort of that force. Where, yes, Donovan Mitchell, who, by the way, hasn't even been all that potent this season, hasn't been that healthy this season. But, I mean, I think when you, and I know Utah is struggling, but they've also, you know, they got a bunch of home games coming up, and we're going to see them rise in the standings. But I think one of the ways you get there is you say defense first. Because, you know, for whatever reason, we haven't been lucky. We've got some nice pieces. None of them are the offensive juggernaut guy who's going to attract the big scoring free agent. But damn if we're not going to look at the defensive efficiency rankings in the morning. And we're not going to be 1, 2, or 3 every morning because we just like are impossible to score on. And I think, you know, to me, that could be a formula for the Magic. And just get there, start playing late into spring or even early into spring. And people take note. And it's like, hey, if we only had one offensive piece, we would be a top four team in the league. And I think that's one route. It's a hard route. It's really tough to do that. But you know, it's one of the reasons I kind of like their personnel because I feel like, okay, maybe that's what's in them. And it hasn't been lost on me that I see them at the bottom of the offensive rankings, but I see them with teams that you wouldn't imagine them playing with as defense. And it is so hard to have a young defense that's that good. And I think that could be part of it.
Absolutely. Well, we are certainly excited about the young core we have here and kind of the foundation that is being built by Jeff, John, and Cliff. And we can start to see it this year. We'll see how it pans out. Hey, Kevin, thank you so much for joining us. This was fantastic.
Hey, I appreciate you having me.
Anytime, my man. That was Kevin Arnovitz of ESPN.com. If you have not read his stuff, go Google search his name. Go check out his Twitter account. It's at Kevin Arnovitz, ARNOVITZ. Does a fantastic job reporting for ESPN.com. Well, that does it for us here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Magic have an 8 o'clock tip time tonight. Brandon Kravitz has you on the network beginning at 7:30. Remember, we are off Monday and Tuesday, so no MDT. So, everybody, happy holidays from us to you. Have a great, great holiday.
Our Magic never compromise on the court, and Magic fans don't have to compromise when it comes to diamonds, engagement rings, and fine jewelry. You always get more at International Diamond Center. IDC is Florida's leading jeweler, recognized statewide for excellence in every category, selection, value, and trust. And that's why we've been named Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic again this year. So come visit one of our 8 showrooms across the state or 24/7 at shopidc.com/gomagic. International Diamond Center, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
Chick-fil-A has teamed up with the Magic to reward fans with free original chicken sandwiches. If the Magic hit 5 or more three-pointers in a home game, everyone in attendance of that game will win a free original chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
Left corner, that's 48-43. Got it to go.
People have fun.
All you have to do is take your ticket stub or your redemption offer in the Magic app at any participating Central Florida location for a free original chicken sandwich. For official rules, visit OrlandoMagic.com/Chick-fil-A.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.